Hello and welcome to this telesummit, Shift It, Change Your Thinking, Transform Your Life, Tap Into the Power of You. I'm your host, Kate Crowe, and today we're talking with Suzanne Letourneau. Suzanne is an executive creative coach who helps women and entrepreneurs who feel disconnected from their purpose to realign with the true meaning of their lives so that they have more energy, more money, and more fulfilling relationships. She is an international keynote speaker, a TV host, and the author of the two-time award-winning book, Soar with Vulnerability, 11 Insights to the Full Enjoyment of Your Life. She is the creator of an intensive program called Your Message is Your Money Machine. Suzanne is also the co-founder of the Ballyhoos, where authors, speakers, coaches learn how to successfully market and promote their business. Hello and welcome, Suzanne.
Hello, Kate, and thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm really happy to be talking with you, and I wanted to talk to you about Soar with Vulnerability. What inspired you to write your book?
Well, I'm going to make a very long story short, but the bottom of it is 5 long and painful years of looking outside myself for answers. So for 5 long years, I had lost a company that I had founded, and when I lost that, not only did I lose the company, all the money invested in it, but also lost my passion, my self-esteem, my self-confidence. It was really a terrible time of my life. And so I started to look outside of myself for finding the answers. I went to conference after conference. I went to workshop after workshop. I bought books after books, but nothing was working. Because, of course, you know that, I'm sure you know that, Kate, that all the answers are always within. And one need to realize that and accept that. But it's hard to accept that nothing you experience in life is caused by anything outside of you. What you experience is only the effects of your own choice and your own decisions. So by writing the book, that's what I started realizing, that I was looking outside of me for answers of what had happened, and I could not accept that really it was coming from within me. It's almost, you do something in your life and you don't want to take the responsibility of something. You say, well, it's not my fault. It's this situation's fault. It's the person's fault. You're never responsible for it, when really, really what everything that happens in life is only the effects of your own choice and your own decisions. So that's why I started to write my book, because I really had to dig deep. And when I say dig deep, it really was not easy, because every time I was writing a paragraph, a page, or a chapter, I would walk out of my office and don't go and see my sweetheart and cry into his arms, because it had brought me into a place of realization, a place of pain. Now I know pain is good, but that at the time when I was writing my book, I didn't know that. So every time I was writing, it was really bringing me to the core essence of who I am, and realizing that, you know, it's always my choice. Take responsibility for what happened.
So that is a pretty amazing thing to discover in the writing process, that, you know, the answer is actually you. And in it sounds like you actually tapped into your power through your vulnerability.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, just that, you know, that by exploring or going through your vulnerability, you were able to actually discover the core essence of who you are. I mean, that seems like a really amazing discovery to make.
It is, Kate. And, you know, I wrote something recently, something about what if you would realize that all the resisting points that you have in your life are really the stepping stones of really finding who you are. So if you look at everything that you resist in your life, and you change the perception of why you're resisting that, and you, it suddenly becomes the stepping stone to going through the true self and realize what is it that you're supposed to be doing. So all of my life, I've been resisting my vulnerability, because for me, vulnerability was a weakness. It was something, the invulnerability was my protection against the world. I felt that I needed to protect myself because of the childhood I had whatsoever. And so I built a big wall of invulnerability around me. And that vulnerability, that really what it is that makes us human and connects us with the rest of the world, was hidden the whole of my life until the age of 45, I think, or 50. I can't remember how old I was. But it was dying to come up at the surface. So what I discovered during the writing process is the more I surrendered, the more I felt free. The more I surrendered to my vulnerability, the happier I became, because I realized that vulnerability is definitely not a weakness. What I realized is that vulnerability is really a strength to be you at all time. It's an openness that you do to yourself, an openness that you do with other people. And it's a softness of allowing yourself to be with the emotions, to be with the up and down roller coaster life that we live, but embrace those moments as well. And magically, when you do that, I know my life changed, that magically when you do that, you open new doors of friendship, new doors of truth, and the relationship that were not true and authentic disappears. And then suddenly you attract authenticity to yourself. Because that's what you are. You live your life in vulnerable authenticity and in authentic vulnerability. It cannot go separate.
Yeah, so what is it that you feel blocks people from enjoying life? Like, what are some of the how does that resistance or examples of vulnerability, invulnerability, what do you think, what are some of the things that block people from enjoying their life or experiencing their vulnerability?
I think I'm going to step in a big pot of something over here. But I'd like to say, I'm going to say two things right now, but really it comes down to one single thing. So first of all, most of the people, they always stink, or they're always thinking and saying that they are too busy. They don't have the time. So they work, and they're busy in their busyness. So that's one thing. So they don't take the time to enjoy life, or they think they don't have the time because they have all those obligations that they think they need to fulfill. So they make everything comes first before enjoying time with their family, enjoying time with themselves, enjoying time to meditate, enjoying time to just walk on the beach, just enjoying time to be in the moment. So that's one thing. And you'll see it comes down to only one single thing at the end. The belief that they're not good enough to live their passion. And I think that's really, really big because, you know, we all come here with a purpose and a mission on earth. Each one of us is unique. And most of the time, I would not say most of the time, all the time, if you look at what you're really anxious to get up in the morning and do, these are the passions that are innate inside of you. And that's really your mission. This is really what you're supposed to be doing, is following those passions that are inside of you. You were born with those things. That means this is what you're supposed to be doing. So, example, if you look at something that you really love doing, that you could get up in the morning and say, oh my gosh, I don't care if I'm not paid for doing that, I'm going to do it. That's because there's a sign. That's a sign to tell you, follow this passion. This is yours. This is a gift you need to share. This is a gift you came to share. But most of us, we decide to push our passion aside and go for the job that pays. Go for a career that brings us the six figure. And we forget our passion, we put them on the back burner, and if we have time at the end of the week, we're gonna do them on the weekend, or we're gonna do them once a month, or we're gonna do them once a year. And so we push those passion back inside where they're supposed to come and come out.
Right.
So at the bottom line of what I want to say to this, and I said to you, I'm going to say two things, and then I'm going to come, you'll see that both of them comes to just one thing. It's our beliefs, Kate. In my book, Soar with Vulnerability, I have a quote in there, and I said that a belief is only a question or a subject. Not a question, I'm sorry. A belief is something, a perception, or something in your life that happens that you stop questioning. And because you stop questioning it, then it becomes a belief, and you're stuck in that. So in life we go with perception. Everything that happens in life is perception, right? You're aware of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So say that there's an accident happening outside your door and there's going to be six people watching the accident. Well, really, there's going to be six versions of the accident because each one of us have a perception of how the accident happened. And from the moment, so that's just a simple example of the perception. But once we start believing our perception, say, well, my perception of this is this and this and that, and you don't question that perception anymore, you just created a belief for yourself, and that's what you're going to lead your life with. This is my belief, and I don't get out of it. I believe this firmly, and that's it. And a belief is a limitation because suddenly there's no space for anything else around it. Unless you accept to question that belief and say, okay, I had that belief for 10 years in my life. Let me go back and re-question that, reposition that. What are my beliefs today about that, or what do I feel about it today? But most of the people don't do that, Kate, and that's a sadness. They have an opinion on something, and they create it, and they don't get out of it. They don't move out of it, and that's what's limiting them.
Right. So it's a sort of opinions that get us stuck, beliefs that we take to be, you know, truths that if we are engaged in that questioning process, you know, we might find that they can actually, that we will actually change our thinking, which is kind of the tagline of this whole summit, which is change your thinking, change your life. And I guess what you're really pointing to here is that there are some beliefs that, you know, once you've revisited them, that maybe could stand to be questioned and challenged because, you know, the way we saw them initially might not hold true in a new light. So you're saying that the real freedom comes when we don't really get stuck in a super strong opinion about something that the belief is absolute. Is that right?
Yeah, because as I said, you know, a perception is just a perception. Mm-hmm. An opinion is just an opinion. But when you start stepping into a belief, you limit yourself for the possibility that what happened or what is just that, when it could be something more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what leads to the freedom.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to share some of the 11 insights that you came to in your when you were writing Soar with Vulnerability?
Absolutely, I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I'd like to share, actually, Kate, is so it's so funny because I shared it with someone one day, and she says, "Are you sure you did not make a mistake with that?" And I said, "No, please repeat it with me." So the first insight I would like to share with you is that you are only invulnerable when you are in fear. And I'm going to say it again, so see how you feel with it. You are only invulnerable when you are in fear.
Mm. You want to explain that for people?
Yeah. When I discovered that, how would I say that? In the 5 years of weakness, of pain and all that things that I was going through, and I said I went to conference after conference and all that. The one day I found myself at another conference and at another, actually it was not a conference, it was a seminar. And I'll talk to you about it at the end of the interview a little bit more clearer. But at that seminar, it was a three-day a training seminar where you were going there to become certified at the end of the weekend. From the day first that I arrived there, I was desperate of finding my passion again. So the teacher was asking everybody what the purpose that we had to be there and what we were there for. And me, from day one, I was so desperate and I was so at the end of my role, as we say in French, that the only thing I could do was cry because I didn't know how to find that answer anymore. I didn't know how to find my passion anymore. So every day when the teacher was asking us to put lists of stuff on the paper, on the sheet, and me, I was never coming up with anything. My name your passion, name the things that you love the most. I could not come up with anything on my sheet. My sheet was totally white. Everybody else, some of them had two, three sheets filled up of stuff that they love to do or their passion or whatsoever. But for me, for 3 days, I'm telling you, it was really painful. On top of the pain that I already had, I could not even find one thing to put on that piece of paper. At the end of the seminar, the third day, randomly, the teacher asked some people to go at the front and share their story. And unfortunately, I was one of them. Today, I will say, fortunately, I was one of them.
Mm.
So I went at the front, and here I was. I had a microphone in my hand, and I really didn't know what I was going to say. And I'm sure that the people that were there with me in the training thought to themselves, well, I'm sure she's going to open her mouth and start crying again because that's all I did on the weekend. But that's what happened. That's where the magic happened, Kate. I was in front of them, standing with a microphone in my hand, not knowing what I was going to say. I felt totally nude. I felt totally empty. I felt totally, I don't know if that's the right word in English, when you're not afraid, fearless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there was no fear inside of me, and I didn't feel that I needed to have any defense. Even though I was nude and even though I was empty, I felt I didn't need to defend myself from anything. I just felt totally raw, totally vulnerable, totally me. And for the first time, not only in 5 years, but in my life, I felt that vulnerability coming on the surface of me. And something started to percolate inside my tummy, and I just brought the microphone to my face, and I started talking. And I talked for, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes, and after I finished talking, I had a standing ovation. So that's where I want to explain, though, where you are only invulnerable when you are in fear. Because this tip, this, when you build an invulnerability wall around you like I did, it's because you're afraid. When you're not afraid, you don't need to defend yourself from anything. I was not afraid there standing in front of people with my microphone. I was totally pure in my vulnerability, and I talked from my heart. I talked from, it was just, you know, it's all, it was almost like it was channeled from me, but it was the truth. It was everything coming out. You are only vulnerable when you are in a space of love and trust and faith, because there is nothing to defend yourself from. Only the ego needs to defend himself. But your true essence of who you are doesn't need to defend himself or itself or herself. Just needs to be.
Right. So what I'm hearing is, like, in that vulnerable moment, you were truly your authentic self.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. And that's why I never separate authenticity and vulnerability, because they work together. If you really want to be authentic in your life, you need to be vulnerable. That means you need to be open. So when I say vulnerable to people, I always add the word, you need to be open. You want to be open.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
There's another lady that wrote a book about vulnerability, Brené Brown. She wrote a great book about vulnerability. I think it's called Daring Greatly. And she talks about that vulnerability is courage, and it's a stepping up. And I can see that as a researcher writing this book and talking about courage. But once you surrender, once you surrender, that's another insight of my book. It's actually the second insight of my book. Once you surrender to the true essence of who you are, you realize that there's nothing to pretend to be. And it's only from when you allow the ego to be present in your life that you create problems and situations for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you surrender, the more freedom you are. I'm not sure if I'm explaining myself properly.
Yeah, it's very clear. So, you know, it's, and I can see how this also moves into your current work, which is helping people to sort of clarify their message or their purpose in life. Is that it's just like such a fundamental step within that process. So, in this day and age where people are trying to really define their message, I'm wondering if you have any tips on how to help people clarify their message.
Actually, I do. And, when I work with people, I have a certain process that I go through to help them, because I think the first thing that blocks them, I'm going to start with maybe saying this part, where what I feel stops people from being clear about their message, they have an emotional attachment to what they do or what they want. And me as a coach, because I'm not emotionally attached to what the person does, I can really see clear about her heart without being in her heart. And also, I think one thing that blocks the people to really get at the bottom line of what their message is, they're too much in their head. So it is important to be in your heart when you find your message, when you want to find your message, without being emotionally attached to it. It's almost like you become the observer of the message that you want to give to people. So one process that actually I ask people to do is in the program is, look at the mess that you're in, look at the pain that you suffer, start with that. Or look at the pain that you want to solve, look at the problem that you want to solve. The most successful people, Kate, They're obsessed with solving an important problem, something that really matters to them. If you look at the most successful people, they are driven by that. That's their obsession. They want to solve the problem. They want to solve something that is really important to them. Otherwise, why would they go the extra mile and the extra mile and the extra mile to solve that problem? And once you do that, look at what pulls you. Look at the situation that pulls you all the time. Mm-hmm. And often, you know, when I work with clients, it starts with your own mess. And I'm going to give you a really good example on that. When I told you I was at a seminar and when I had the microphone in my hands, that was after 5 years, long 5 years of looking outside of myself. So that seminar, that training thing was, I lost my passion. Right? Well, in order to find my passion, I decided to become a passion test facilitator. So that training seminar was to become a passion test facilitator. And I said to myself, well, if you're going to find your passion, you better go and teach it. I believe that you need to teach what you need to learn is also a really great approach. Now, I didn't realize that when I went there for the training, I said, I lost my passion. I'm going to go and see the expert on passion, and I'm going to become a facilitator, and I'm going to teach it because I really want to learn my passion back. And I did that for 2 years. I was a passion test class, and to tell you the truth, it really helped me to move on. But it's really my book that took me out of there at the end. So it's really to teach what you need to learn. Look at what pulls you. What are you eager to learn? What mess do you want to solve? What problem do you want to solve?
Right, and therein lies, I think, what you said earlier in this interview, which is it's where when you look at what you need to learn. You are, and you're not, and you have the bravery to look at what you need to learn. That's where you're going to find your authentic self, and the message or you've gone through the lessons that you've needed to learn. And you can start to connect the dots of your experience.
Yeah, and it's also to learn how to listen, and not only listen to with your ears, but listen with everything that you've got, everything that you are. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, that's what we don't do. We stop listening with every little cell of our body and of our heart, of our mind, and we keep on limiting ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is there anything that you'd like to leave our listeners with? You've made some excellent points here about, stepping, looking at vulnerability in a new way, which takes shifting how we are perceiving some of our core beliefs such that we can see that the things that are frightening to us are actually the very stepping stones that we need to make to come towards our homecoming or our authentic self. But perhaps you want to sum up something before we sign off.
Well, I would like for the audience to remember one thing, that my first insight, you are only invulnerable when you are in fear. And resistance is also the same thing. Resistance is only coming from fear. It's only an energy of fear. So if you find yourself in a moment of resistance, and the other thing is when you are living your life in conscious awareness, you realize that. You become a witness, an observer of your life. Even as you're doing it, you are the observer of your life as well. So as you live in conscious awareness, and once you do start that, I'm telling you, there's no way back. There's you there's no way of going back, not living into that space. So once you do that, you become a lot more aware of when you have resistance. And when you are in that situation of resistance, know that you are in fear. And ask yourself the question, I talk about that in my book as well, from the moment that you realize that you are in fear, that you resist, not in fear, but you resist something, or that you start putting your wall of invulnerability, that means that there's fear there. And ask yourself the question, what am I afraid of? And you'll find yourself that it's going to stop you in the movement you were supposed to do. You're going to say, what am I afraid of? Why am I resisting this? Why do I need to put my wall of invulnerability right now? What am I afraid of? So it allows for this moment in time to stop, to embrace the moment, embrace the fear as well, and stop judging what happens or what does not happen. Just let go, surrender, let it be. I know it's easier said than done, but I really would like to encourage everybody to start living their life like that, in conscious awareness of everything that they do and they say. Because they'll find out that most of the time they're coming from a place of fear versus a place of love. And it's okay to be witness of that. And then you can say, when you can see that your ego is crawling in, you can say, oh, hey man, what are you doing here today? You know, what did you come up to show me? And just play around with it. Just be curious about it instead of taking the ego so seriously. Just play with it.
I love that. Fear, what did you come here to show me?
Exactly.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And probably the answer is, you know, yourself. You know that you know that it's through that doorway that we actually start to actually find our authentic self, which is what you do so brilliantly with your work. So thank you for being such a powerful guide through the jungles of vulnerability and helping people to really step into and tap into their power. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you, Suzanne.
Kate, it was such a pleasure for me and an honor, of course. So thank you to you. Thank you so much.